you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is The Vault by Access Hollywood.
We're taking you on an epic journey into the heart of Hollywood with iconic interviews and fascinating conversations from the biggest stars in the business.
The Vault opens now.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody. This is The Vault by Access Hollywood, and we're going to press play on some throwback clips right now. I'm Scott Evans.
And I'm Zuri Hall.
Sounding all velvety and smooth. Today, though, I mean, we're going to keep it smooth with one of the smoothest brothers out there. I'm pretty excited because not only is this individual a titan in the entertainment industry, he's also a legendary director, a producer, writer, actor, incredible entrepreneur, and even philanthropist. Literally, the list could continue to go on. I'm just going to say, we're talking about Tyler Perry.
Dun, 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 dun. Hi, the one and only.
Hey! Yes. Man, I was really excited about this episode in particular because I feel like we haven't seen too many of these stories of a person working from literally sleeping in their car to billionaire status.
Right.
And so, and especially not a black man. Mm-hmm. We just don't see that too much. You don't see that too much. Yep. And so it's a really, his story is so inspiring.
Yeah.
And what's really cool about a person like Tyler Perry is sometimes you reach a moment where I feel like we've seen those individuals who hoard not only their resources, but also the knowledge, right? Like how they got there. Like they're very protective of, like they feel like it's
IP. I'm the one that got in, ain't space for nobody else. Yeah. And I can't pay it forward because you might come for that spot. And it's just,
thing, right?
Yeah.
He is so generous with the keys. You know what I mean? Like, this is how I did it. And if I can do it, you can do it. There is nothing separating you from it, but the work, you know what I mean? His book, Higher is Waiting, is full of lessons and tips and tools on how anyone with enough gumption, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Desire
yeah.
can get out here and get after it. Because if he can do it, you can do it. And he's also such a great storyteller. He's got this... I'm fascinated by any story of Prince, but he's got this story of being on stage in full Madea situation, spotting a person in the crowd, handing them the mic. That person, Prince Nelson.
Prince. Really?
Yeah.
Did he realize you said handing a person as if-
Handing a person a mic. I think he just thought maybe, you know, maybe he'll say hello to the people. Maybe he'll just be like, you know, hey y'all, you know.
And instead,
he stole the show. Listen to this.
Okay, so we have to talk about this story that you posted about Prince.
Yeah.
I have to, I was reading it and I was like, this is unreal.
Yeah.
first, Prince was going to sue you?
He was joking. He was completely joking. I thought he was. Yeah. He sing Purple Rain again, and I'm going to sue you, and I'll be at the show. I need 10 tickets. I was like, And when he shows up, and he comes there, and he sits there, man. He's watching the show, and he's laughing all through the show. And then I send the mic out there to him, and they start playing Purple Rain. This is at the Kodak Theater. Place went crazy.
You just took the mic to him?
Yeah, I had someone. I was on stage in Madea doing the show, and I had somebody bring the mic out there to him, and he said, worst mistake I ever made in my life, man.
Really?
Never, ever give your microphone to a superstar at your show.
No.
The show was over.
Because it's no longer your show.
The show was over, yeah.
I can't imagine you as Madea just looking, staring, waiting.
Yeah.
Are y'all done?
It was just like, yeah, I need y'all to calm the hell down. Now, yeah, it was pretty great. It was pretty great. That was a great moment. He was a part of some of the most life-changing moments for me. So it's pretty sad that he's gone.
Tell me, when you say life-changing moments.
Well, just him. There are moments where he, Whitney, and myself were in his basement hanging out, and just him singing for hours, and I wouldn't have my son because the woman that we met there at his concert with 300 people. It's just, we all became cool. It was interesting. It's just really interesting.
Can't give a superstar the microphone.
It won't be your show. It won't be your show. But he has that energy every time you encounter him. I think that's one of the reasons mm-hmm. why he's successful, is because mm-hmm. he's constantly getting after it. He's constantly, yeah. And he's absorbing, right? He's also mm-hmm. gifting.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's awesome. It is awesome.
Yeah. No, he's so amazing. I was telling you earlier about, kind of watching that trajectory from playwright in Atlanta mm-hmm. to this sort of global entertainment icon that we know now. Some people don't realize that, but Tyler Perry did get his start as a playwright in Atlanta. Obviously, he's mega successful as a television and film producer at this point. But his first love was actually theater, which I personally love as a theater geek. I just get so excited. I thinking about my musicals, my Little Shops of Horrors and Cinderella's and all the, what? Come on now, Scott.
You were in Little Shop of Horrors?
I was in Little Shop of Horrors. I was Chiffon, the lead singer. I would like to say the Beyonce of the trio. I was the, I was Gina.
Come on.
Tisha Campbell. Come on. Remember, did you ever see the movie version, the film version? Yes. So I was in the little doo-wop group, but I just love theater. I love theater and musicals, which is why I appreciated Tyler, even in those early years when he first came on the scene and people were starting to talk about his art. So I want to talk a little bit about Tyler's journey to Hollywood mm-hmm. because it's so inspirational. He moved to Atlanta back in 1990. So we're talking 30 years ago now. And his very first play was back in 1992. It was called I Know I've Been Changed. And it was a community theater release, yep. which just to say out loud now, just to say that out loud, 92, he had his community theater debut.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And it didn't get the greatest reviews, which I almost makes me love this story more.
Right.
Because a hater will hate. A critic will critique, but what is for you? You know, when the people speak, when they say what they want, can't nothing stop it.
Said, but what did ticket sales do?
Right. What did ticket sales looking like? Right. All right. So for the next 6 years, he was writing constantly and rewriting that script to get to a point where he could actually tour with it. So I love that. Reviews be damned. He didn't give up mm-hmm. on that. For the next 6 years, he was like, how do we make this happen? In 1998, so 6 years later, he finally hit his stride with I Know I've Been Changed and had a number of other successful plays. Mm-hmm. He was touring, performing for sold out crowds. That momentum was starting to build. And then in 2005, this is when I feel like the press frenzy started. Like mm-hmm. mainstream media was starting to be like, hold up, who is this new dude on the scene? What's Tyler talking about? There's some commotion in Atlanta. We need to figure out what's going on down there. Forbes reported more than $100 million in ticket sales, $30 million in videos of his shows, and $20 million in the merch alone. 300 live shows he was producing each year at that point, and an average of 35,000 people a week.
Okay. Here's the thing that you need to understand, though. 300 live shows a year,
there's only 365 days.
Exactly. It's only
going to name all the days in the year.
It'd be working.
Right.
And be working.
Right.
But so there are days where he does two shows a day. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And you're the writer, the producer, you know what I mean? Directing. Mm-hmm. And the crazy, I think it really is crazy. Admirable, but crazy. He's never just working on one project.
No.
It's always, so I got the play going. We've also got the Nickelodeon show going. We've got development for this show going. I'm writing this show. I can't stay mm-hmm. here too long because I'm also got to get back to do the first looks at, you know, at another show. So
right.
It's wild.
Hustling. And
every day I'm hustling.
So like I was saying, he was obviously building this huge name for himself in the theater space. But what I really love about his story is he was using the proceeds from those shows, to your point, Scott, about him having all of these balls that he's juggling, all mm-hmm. these things in the air, all of these different projects. He was using that money to help finance his first movie, Diary of a Mad Black Woman. And what I love about that fact is he was investing in himself, mm-hmm. right? You could have made that money and been like, "Ooh, I'm good. I'm gonna coast on these theater proceeds. Like, this is my thing. I'm gonna stick to it." The fact that he had to finance his first film also tells me he couldn't necessarily find that financing to the extent he needed it. Mm-hmm. Even then, even with hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue in the theatrical space and on the stage. So I love that he was willing to invest in himself in that way. So obviously he put the money in for Diary of a Mad Black Woman, which brings us up to 2005 when Access Hollywood sat down with Tyler just after that film opened in theaters. We talked to him about his rise to success and the performance of the film. Listen to this.
So let's talk a little bit about your rise to the top, because this is a very grassroots type of rise to the top, if you will.
Yeah.
Where did you do your first play?
My first play was done in 1992. In 92 in a little theater, 200 seat theater that I thought 1,200 people would show up to. The 200 people,
really?
No, 30 people showed up that first go round. But that's where it started, down in Atlanta, and it's just grown and grown every year. It just kept growing and growing and growing until it got to a point where it is now.
So what's your actual highest attendance as far as
we play some arenas where there are 10,000-12,000 people in coming to see the show. Those are pretty amazing. I feel like a rock star when I'm up there.
You gotta feel like a rock star.
Yeah.
And they're all roaring.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I know about your Meet the Browns, mm-hmm. Which is a character from your plays. Are you planning on doing more with that and seeing that go to the big screen at all?
You know what? I'm working on Madea's family reunion right now, which is the follow-up to this movie. But they are really good people, and I'm definitely trying to get some things going for them. So sure, yeah.
Were you really surprised at the box office?
To be honest with you, I wasn't. I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I knew that there was this entire niche of people that hadn't been served,
right,
that wanted to have good quality entertainment, because my fan base is not 18 to 25. I don't have a certain demographic. It mm-hmm. crosses all age groups, and,
right,
and now it's crossing all races. So because it's a universal story that everybody can relate to.
Does Hollywood underestimate, the black audience?
What I'm hoping right now is that this film changes that. I'm hoping that this film makes everybody pay attention and say, you know what, we're going to give you good stories, because it was a struggle to get this made.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gotten to a point where I was just going to do it straight to DVD and not even deal with the studios, because I was getting all of these things they wanted me to change that I knew wouldn't work. So,
right.
So I think now I'm hoping that there's this awakening going on. Yeah.
First, before we even get to the success that would then be launched from that movie doing well, right?
Mm-hmm.
The question, did you have any idea? Yeah, actually.
And he was like, yeah.
Yeah, because I've been getting to know this audience. I've been serving this audience now
mm-hmm.
in theaters. And I'm close to them. I get to see what they react to. I get to see
right.
what they listen to, what they respond to. And that is what I'm giving them more of, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even if you ask him that question now, he tells you the same answer. Like, no, I'm not surprised, because I've done the work,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And this audience is an audience that wants good content like any other audience.
Right.
And so if I'm willing to stand in that space, they do their part.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's one thing that really stands out is you see very often there are men in suits, generally men in suits. That's what I'll say. I'll leave it at that. No
I like
more
the
adjectives
edit.
Necessary. Yes. And they are constantly trying to tell you and the crazy part is this could be many different groups of people, but constantly trying to tell you how to sell to, how to connect with, how to talk to who you are, the people that you know, that you've engaged with. You were once that consumer that you are now selling to, but you're going to tell me how to talk to me, how to talk to people who reflect who I am. And I love the complete boss move of saying, you know what, forget it. He said he was about to just walk away from the studios altogether and be like, let's just go straight to DVD so I can give the people what I know they want. Mm-hmm. And it's a testament to having the instinct, to having the connection to your audience. Suits to be damned. And on the back end, that's when everybody wants to fall in line. That's when everybody wants to get
and
in
now, exactly. And now it's like a lifetime achievement this and mm-hmm. and of course and we always knew you would that. And the right. the another great thing I think about anyone who's ever been in the position that has had to bet on themselves is if you can even give those people grace. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. If you can even know what you're dealing with, like keep the receipt.
Yeah. Right.
But
right,
if you
right.
can still keep kindness as your mm-hmm. The thing that you share, right? The thing you put out, you still win even more. But I think about like Taraji P. Henson. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Stepping into a lead role. And her association with Tyler Perry helping solidify her, you know what I mean, in this industry. I think about Kerry Washington, you know what I mean? These faces, these names, these individuals who are household names now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tyler was like, okay, let me just boop.
Yeah. Yeah, which is great. And it was a path to entry, especially when you think about how hard it was and still is to a certain extent for people of color, Black people specifically, mm-hmm. to be cast in certain types of roles and just getting that break. Hollywood itself is just so competitive, just getting casted, period. Like, I'm just talking about the competition of it all. It's exhausting. So many of these actors grind for years before they get that break. And then they land the project, they shoot it, and then find out it's shelved for 2 years or 3 years. So it's a commitment. You've got to love it or just really, really want to be famous
right.
to commit to the ups and downs of this. Yeah, otherwise, wow. I don't know who would commit to it. So to have a space that Tyler himself created where Black artists, Black actors knew, I can go here to be seen. I have a consistent path to audition. Mm-hmm. I might not be getting every part left and right, but I know here is where I can find characters that are written specifically for me. And it's not projects that are just coming and going with the wind. These will be seen. This could put me on the map. And so I feel like Tyler Perry sort of became a gatekeeper in a really great way. He not even a gatekeeper,
the kingmaker.
Like he cultivated, he cultivated a space. He built a gate, maybe is the right word, where there was a brick wall for us.
Tell the people what he do.
He built a gate, okay, and just swung that thing wide open. And it was a new path into Hollywood where we had not traditionally had access
right.
because he was creating these opportunities for people to showcase their talent in a bigger way, in a mainstream way.
Yeah.
Back to that clip for Diary of a Mad Black Woman, where he was talking about the film. I just want to acknowledge that in the end, mind you, that was his first film. He financed it himself. It went on to win 2 NAACP Image Awards, 5 BET Comedy Awards, and it grossed $50.7 million at the box office. So that was just the beginning of it. Madea, that was the first appearance for Madea, but it wasn't the last. There were 12 more cameos that iconic character made in his film. So that was just the beginning.
I remember when he announced that Madea was going to, there was going to be a farewell to Madea. I said, why would you, why?
Where's she going?
She going for a nap or she going for a
she's
long time?
A little vacation.
He said, brother, I'm trying to get out of this dress. It is time.
That damn bra. Now, he knows what it feels like for us. Long day. You just trying to get the hell
get out
of
that
bra.
Suit. Well, what we know about Madea, she ain't wearing no bra.
That's your swanging.
Just a swanging. She ain't wearing new bra. But $50 million, I know, like, people say, I've heard people say sometimes, like, well, $50 million, like what other movies, you know, that you've got other movies that make $250 million in a weekend. And it's like, yeah, but that's with budgets that cost $200 million to make. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And a studio what is it, a comic book franchise or comic book studio owns the rights, the primary rights to all of that, right? Like, it's this is a one man.
Right, one man.
One man.
One man.
Because yeah. Y'all got y'all fees up front. Now this is for me. And the cool thing about him, again, is that what we know is for him, he then rolls into other things for other people. He's got a school. He's got a charitable foundation. He's got projects. He does things that no one ever even knows. You know what I mean? And in ways of trying to pay it forward and gifting that success he's got to other people. Okay, so I want to move along in the vault and move on now to, I think, 2012. At this point, Tyler Perry is household name. He is no longer sleeping in his car. He got multiple properties.
Portfolio. All, yeah, okay.
All over the world.
All over the world.
And he's pushing movies out left and right. And as we mentioned before, he's self-made. So he's doing this with a very, very small team, usually his left and his right hand. And during the junket for this film called Good Deeds, we got the chance to talk to him about his work ethic and how that is the thing that he has developed in such a way, he says he will never be outworked. You may be more talented, you may be better looking, you may have other resources, but what you are never going to do is outwork me. And I added the better looking. He ain't never said that. But he talked about his work ethic and how he's able to create project after project so quickly and also efficiently. Here's what he had to say.
You know, you've had, it's about, I think about it, within a 7-year span, you've had films come out consistently. So just in terms of your writing process and then your production process, just how do you, I feel like the films come out, you know, so quickly, and, yeah, and that's a really impressive feat to be able to.
Well, let me tell you why you think it's impressive, because in this town, there is a lot of waste, a lot of lack, and a lot of time that lags, and a lot of hands that are involved in making one film. But when you're one person and you can say, this is what I want to do and this is how I want to do it, you're able to churn it pretty quickly and turn it pretty quickly. So I think that if you were outside of this town, you would see that it's not that impressive.
Yeah, so yeah. But that's part of the trick, is just you don't have too many cooks in the kitchen kind of thing.
That is exactly what happens. That's exactly what happens in television. That's exactly what happens in film. When you've got 50, 100, 1,000 million opinions in your head and on top of you, it's a process that grinds to a halt.
50,000 million opinions, if that ain't it, boy.
Wait, if for me, it was the, I can see how you think that.
Right. I can see how you think it's impressive. Yeah. But let me tell you,
But it reminded me of Whitney Houston's interview with Diane Sawyer, where she says, I can believe what you feel.
I can believe.
But do you know?
Your feelings are true for who you are and what you feel.
And where you are in your life and what you know. But do you really know? Do you, Diane? And she said, no, you know. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh,
but it's a, if I hope that people who are listening to this don't think that this is just like a love on Tyler Perry moment. Right. I hope that you are gleaning from the stories that we're telling about knowing him and working with him and interviewing him in these clips, that you are able to pull into your own experience that if there is something that you are waiting on, some dream you've had or some accomplishment you want to go after, if you're waiting on something, cut that out and just get to work, because you deserve it. You can get it. You can have it. You just have to be willing to work for it and not be convinced by anybody that it's not for you.
Right. And to add to that, not only be convinced or not only be, you know, unconvinced by people who are naysayers or whatever it is, but I think that interview and what Tyler said is such a prime example of we have been conditioned to believe that there are certain gatekeepers, mm-hmm. that the only way that I get to my dream or my thing is through this person or this platform or this tried and true path. And very often it is the betting on yourself. It is the screw it, I'll do it myself. Mm-hmm. That gets you somewhere that begging someone for a scrap won't get you. You know, you can beat on that door for years and years and years and not get in, and then look around the corner and be like, well, hold up. If I just pull this little box and put that on top of this one, I could probably just climb and hop up in that little window right there that ain't nobody else notice except for me. So it really is about opening your mind to the possibilities and then believing in oneself enough to say, I can do this. I don't need whoever that person is, whatever that thing is, whatever that job or corporation or entity is that says that I don't deserve to be here, because I'm sure you've had those moments, Scott.
Yep.
I have had those moments. So many no's. Sometimes for fun, I have a twisted sense of fun, but I go back to old emails where it was just denials, 2008, 2009, 2010, unanswered. Thanks. No, thanks. You're not what we're looking for all different types of things. Not
the no response.
Just, which honestly, sometimes I'd rather the no response than a couple of replies that I got. I said, damn, y'all just gonna tell me to my face. Y'all just gonna tell me the truth like that about how you feel about a sister? I'm just trying to make it out of Ohio. But okay, thank you for the thorough feedback.
Right.
But yeah, I love that he was like, you know what, screw it, I'll do it myself. He founded Tyler Perry Studios back in 2006. Obviously, it's such a massive player in the game at this point. Tyler Perry Studios, it's the largest film production studio in the United States, period. We're talking coast to coast, LA to New York. Mm-hmm. And it's in Atlanta, Georgia, and it established Tyler as the first African-American to just outright own.
Not chairman.
Own. I own that thing. Yeah. A major film production studio.
And so awesome. The stages. So we went to the opening of the studios, the new studios, that is actually built on what used to be a Confederate Army base. How timely, even for the taping of this podcast episode, to be having this conversation. It was built on what used to be a Confederate Army base. And now this black man has turned it into a place where people of every race can come and work, but in particular, tell the stories of black people in a way that they see themselves, they trust themselves, and they know that a black man is at the helm. There was so much attention to detail. The invitation, Zuri, that showed up was this satin box. You open the box and it had like a fragrance, right? Like there was a smell that happened. You open the box and this video starts playing, and it's just Tyler Perry in this silk setting. What? He says, hey, this is Tyler Perry.
Hi, Tyler Perry.
And I just wanted to personally invite you to the opening. And I was like, oh my God. That's oh my amazing. God. So I shut the box.
What did you say? Tyler Perry, get out of my house. I wasn't ready.
I was like, hold on. I got to set this up somewhere. I can't just be opening this all willy-nilly.
This man just inviting me to his studio opening.
But then we get to Atlanta and it's Will Smith and Jada Pinkett. It's Oprah Winfrey. It's Beyonce, Jay-Z, right? It's Diddy, T.I. It's all Cicely Tyson. You know what I mean? These incredible figures, and not just culture, but especially black culture, all ready to celebrate, you know, the achievement of this individual. It's mind blowing. And then to know that you have this individual as a mentor, because he's invested in you doing well, because he knows what you want to, what your aim is, and what your potential impact can be. Mm-hmm. It's next level. Mm-hmm. Next level. Yeah. Okay, so in 2019, Access was invited to the grand opening to cover the event, and I'm talking star-studded. Here's a short clip from it.
Has this all hit you yet?
No.
but I'm determined to take it in this very second, this very moment, because my mind is always in a million different places. I'll tell you what's happening right now. I'm looking at all the cars going, why aren't they moving faster? Why can't we get them in? What's happening? So that's my, so anyway, sorry.
Yeah, no, how much of this is...
Cars move faster, let's get people in here. Yeah.
How much of this is stress for you, and how much of this is, wow, sit back and just take it all?
No, the stress was, listen, I've done everything I can. There's a lot of stuff I can't control. We did all we could. I prayed all I can. Now it's about having a good time, so no stress.
I told him I was bringing my mother as my guest to the opening, and he made sure to create an opportunity, a moment for him and for her at the ceremony. And it's so crazy because we looked to our right and it was Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton.
Oh,
you looked to your left and it was Denzel and Pauletta. Mm-hmm. You looked right behind them and it was Cicely Tyson. Behind them was another, like another famous face, famous all around you, right?
Yeah,
he zeroes in on my mom and he says, you must be Mrs. Evans. You must be Scott's mom.
Oh,
and she said,
goodness.
Oh, my God.
That is me.
Yeah. Then I don't know what she was thinking, where she went in her head or who she thought what her relationship was to him. She was
I think I know what's going on. I remember the story.
You,
what happened?
You like my son.
And wait,
He said, what? She said, "You. That's right. You like my son." He said, how old are you? Ma'am, if you don't mind me asking. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, he said, I'm the same age as you. And she said, I don't care. You still like my son? I was like, mom, he is older than
did
you.
Did your mama just son Tyler Perry? Quite literally.
You like my son. I was like, that was the mom. We got to practice your intros, ma'am.
Right.
She said, I didn't know what to say.
That is amazing. I love that he went out of his way to carve out that little moment for her. That's so special.
It was really very cool. Then they had this gospel brunch the next day. It was a 2-day event, right? Mm-hmm. It was next.
Extravaganza.
Next level.
I love it. Tyler Perry keeps bringing it up,
right?
Taking it to the next level always. He's accomplished so much in his career. Back in 2019, just a few days before the opening of that new studio location, he had taken another step forward in his career. This is the big one. This is the one, you know, everyone wants at some point. Receiving his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Listen to what he had to say about that.
What does this great honor mean to you?
I'm trying to take it all in. I, anybody who says, oh, it means, and I feel, and I did it, it. I don't know how you feel all of that at once. So what I'm trying to do is take it all in right now in this moment and just be present here. It'll sink in soon.
I like what you said in your speech that this is for the underdogs.
Yeah, for sure. I feel that way. I've always wanted to come in and just and an outsider. So I feel like this moment is for all of us underdogs who wanted a chance, who got an opportunity to come in and just and do it our own way. So, yeah, that's what I want it to be about.
When you look at your life and all that you've accomplished, what do you consider your greatest accomplishment?
Oh, listen, he'll be 5 years old on the 30th. That's my greatest accomplishment in the world. Just how he is just such an amazing soul and just what he's done to help heal me when just me being a father. That's been my greatest accomplishment for sure.
Do you hear the energy in how he talks? Like you just feel like you'd be like, I gotta get up and do something.
Either Tyler had to go. He was like the car was about to pull off without him, or he was hype about that star. It's so fun to hear that difference in it because he's so calm and cool and collected. But I mean, that Hollywood Walk of Fame star, I guess that'll get you a little excited.
It'll geek you up a little bit. But I just think about sleeping in your car.
Yeah.
And it was like a little car. He like 6'13".
Big man.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
About 6'13", 6'14".
Yeah, 6'13", 6'14", you know, something like that. A Geo Metro is not a very big car.
Is that what it was? A Geo Metro? I didn't know that.
It's not a very big car.
It's tight.
And so, you know, I mean, he has talked about how much detail he remembers the promise he made to himself. Yeah. That like, I'm not going to be here long. I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to allow this circumstance to be the thing that I stay in. Mm-hmm. It's to then think about to grace the covers of Forbes magazine, You know what I mean? A walk on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. It's like, it's next level. You can almost you almost feel like it's something that he should receive, like after he's gone, like all this stuff. Cause it doesn't make sense to have those two experiences
but
in one life.
I'm here for it. I'm like, give the flowers while 100%. They are here, you know? And he has more than earned that.
Yeah.
And on top of that, for all of the accolades that he has deserved and earned and is given, he makes such a priority of giving back, mm-hmm. not just being grateful for his success, but figuring out how he can do something with it, do good with it mm-hmm. outside of himself. So before we sign off, I just want to share one more additional clip from the vault. This is from the Good Deeds Junket. So listen to what Tyler had to say when Access asked him what good deed he had done recently.
And then we're asking everyone too, like, because the theme is, you know, good deeds. Mm-hmm. So what was your last good deed that you did?
The most recent, I think, is I try to do something all the time, especially if there's something going on. But I, you know, what do you mean, a little deed or a big deed?
A big deed. I mean, that would be fun.
I built a house for an 87-year-old woman who had no insurance and was raising 7 grandkids. I think that's last Christmas. That's one of the big ones.
One of the big
ones.
They
just dropped the mic with the interview. I was waiting for the interviewer's response. That's amazing.
Bloop.
That's awesome.
Bloop.
And I love that we only know that because we went out of our way to ask mm-hmm. you, right? Like when people do these sorts of things just for the sake of doing them, it says even more, in my opinion. So.
When this quarantine COVID-19 situation started back in 2020 in March, right? When the whole world had to stop. I was talking to him about the desire of like thinking about, do I make a move? Is this where you get some property somewhere? He said, if this isn't a lesson to you about dreaming the dream that can withstand all of that, I don't know what is. And he said, you have to remember that this is not just about you, that you be considering. It all needs to point back to service. It all needs to point back to how you help. You know what I mean? How you can be of service. And I was just like, man, I don't. Like, that's how he's always thinking.
Yeah.
Always.
And you were like, but should I buy a house?
Right. Should I move out this apartment or not?
Should I move or not?
100%.
Service. How you spell right. that? How do you
don't know that? Never. Then there. Do you need a passport? Is that are they letting Americans in to service? I don't know. Listen, we could honestly go on for days. You know, we didn't even get to the alleged Meghan Markle Prince Harry scenario.
Oh, alleged emphasis.
You know,
allegedly.
You know, we didn't even get to that. We didn't even get to you know, the new projects and ventures he's launching, you know, with BET Plus, the partnership there. And we didn't even get to some of that stuff. So I think though, the moral of the story is this is a brother that has started this thing on his own with the help of some key players, and he is not slowing down anytime soon. 2021, if he can do, what is it? I think 4 shows in a movie during quarantine. You know, who knows what 2021 has for him?
Can't wait to watch it.
Thanks so much for listening to The Vault by Access Hollywood. I'm Scott Evans.
And I'm Zuri Hall.
The Vault by Access Hollywood is hosted by Scott Evans and Zuri Hall, produced by Access Hollywood Digital's Jenny Depper and Rebecca Zamer, and Digital Media Management's Grant Rutter, Audrey Povar, and Ryan Middledorf, and Trey Boudet. Join us next week when we open up that vault again for more iconic celebrity interviews and all things entertainment. Rate, subscribe, and share.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.